Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Once you choose your cruise, be sure to read Anchors Away so you can make the best plan. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is December 10th, 2013. We are on day two of our travel article, Anchors Away. You can find it on pages 18, 19, and 20 in your Advanced magazine. And we're setting sail with Naomi Beeshable as she writes about her trip that she took recently, her cruise from Asia to North America. And it's really quite an interesting trip that she set sail on. And what Naomi did was she took a lot of great notes and has put everything together to offer some great recommendations for anybody that might be considering going on a cruise. And I've got two panelists here back for day two, Joanna Wirtz and Josh Mooney. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
And we've been talking about cruises that we've been on and how important it is to make the proper plans. And but we, if anything, we would all say that it is something that everybody should consider doing, right?
I think there's something on a cruise for everyone, no matter whether you're young and single and you want a party, or if you're older, married, and you want just a relaxing, you know, trip away.
Are you saying older married people don't like to have fun, Joanna?
That is exactly what I'm saying. No. Just kidding. Maybe a different kind of fun.
Right.
Yeah. Compared to young, energetic people like Joanna, which
sure.
is good.
No,
so.
My travel style resembles an old person's these days.
Oh, really?
I have to say, yeah. I'm less about the dancing and the flashing lights and more about the sitting around and enjoying views.
Okay.
Am I boring now, Bill?
No, you are just, you know, you're maturing. You're like fine wine. You're getting better with age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So Joanna has gone on several cruises, at least a few cruises out of Texas going through the Caribbean, the Western Caribbean. And Josh has gone on other cruises, both in the Caribbean and also from Los Angeles, heading down to Mexico. Yes?
That's right. Stopped in Catalina, Ensenada, and mm-hmm. one other part of Mexico. And then my grandparents have done an interesting cruise. They cruised from Los Angeles to Hawaii, which
really?
Is a long time at sea.
Yeah.
I think it's at least 5 days. No, maybe 4 or 5 days to get to Hawaii
mm-hmm.
from Los Angeles.
And there's nothing in between.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. And then once they got to Hawaii, how many days were they there?
A few. Yeah, I don't think it was more than 3 or 4.
Did they go to different Hawaiian islands or just stay at one?
I believe it had 2 stops.
All right. And then come back.
And then come back.
That's a lot of time just right out at sea.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And when you went to Mexico, you mentioned, well, Catalina Island.
Catalina Island.
Off the coast of L.A. And then a couple of stops in Mexico. Made me think of our trip to Mazatlan last month in advance. We did a travel article talking about the port of Mazatlan in Mexico, but your cruise didn't go there.
No, I think it was Ensenada and I can't remember the other one.
Now, this is on the far western coast
Correct.
Of Mexico. Okay.
Baja, that was the
Baja,
one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Mazatlan is on the inside part of the Gulf of California, so it would have taken a lot longer. There are cruises that people can take from Los Angeles, and I know we've got many listeners in L.A. or who do go to L.A., and that might be something they can consider, that you can leave from Los Angeles and take a week-long cruise, and it will stop at many ports along the way as far as down through Mexico and places like Puerto Vallarta and Mazatlan. Before we get into our reading for today, let me get just one thought from each one of my panelists from yesterday.
We talked about booking a cruise, and that's a good verb when you want to go on a trip. you have to reserve, make a reservation for a plane flight, a hotel room, or in this case, a cruise vacation. And you often use the internet to book your trip. And the internet has amazing resources about cruises. You can see your stateroom. You can choose activities that you want to do. I think there's almost more fun spent thinking about your cruise vacation and dreaming about it than the actual cruise.
It's like looking at a big buffet at a restaurant, a buffet restaurant, all you can eat. You just see all this stuff in front of you. It's fun just looking at it.
Yeah.
Oh, I want this. I want that. I want this. Give me that. Yeah. Joanna.
Well, we also talked about the different destinations you can choose if you want to go on a cruise. When I was younger, you know, living in Texas, I just thought of cruises as in, you know, the Bahamas, the Caribbean, Mexico, all those that relatively nearby area. But there's so many different places around the world where you can take a cruise. Pretty much anywhere with a coastline, there might be a cruise available for it. And now that I'm older and I'm more well-traveled, I think it would be really great to go on a Mediterranean cruise or maybe a cruise through the South Pacific.
Yeah. So there are cruises. There's great cruises all through Asia here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through the next day or two that we haven't mentioned in this article. But there are some great cruises and some destinations here in Asia. Let's do this. Turn to page 19, and we will have our reading broken up into two sections today, the left column and the right column.
Land ho! One of the great joys of cruising is that you can see so many different places from the comfort of your very own moving hotel room. Deciding how you want to explore these destinations, however, can be a challenge. Fortunately, the staff do their best to make it fun and easy for you. You may want to sign up for an excursion offered by the ship, which can be very fun. Have you always wanted to swim with the dolphins, go zip lining, or take in the view from a float plane? Now's your chance. If you register for a ship excursion, the staff will provide all the information and equipment you need. The only excursion I signed up for was snorkeling in Alaska, and it was an exceptional adventure. We squeezed into thick wetsuits and then took the plunge. The water was only about 7 degrees Celsius.
The title of the article is Anchors Away, and that talks about the ship is ready to sail, and we're heading out to sea. Now Naomi has titled this section, Land Ho.
Land Ho is what sailors used to say on ships when they finally spied land off in the distance. Land Ho!
Yes, and so they were really happy, especially if they've been at sea for a long time, and it's like such a relief to finally see land. And now, Naomi gets into some of the joys, one of the great joys of cruising.
That's right. Seeing so many places, not just where you take off from, but all the different ports of call from the comfort of your very own moving hotel room.
That's a good way for her to describe that. Instead of just being stuck in one location, your hotel room is moving. And a cruise ship is like a big hotel.
It is. And like a shopping mall and like a grocery store and like a little city, as Naomi will call it later in the article.
Yeah. Now, deciding how you want to explore these destinations where the ship does stop, however, can be a challenge.
That's right. So the ship will, we say port, will get to its destination and will arrive, say, at 10 or 11 in the morning, and then everyone will get off. We call it disembark. Everyone gets off the ship together, and you then are in this new town where they might speak a different language, where you might not have the currency handy, but you have an adventure there for 7 or 8 hours before you get back on the ship and head off for a new destination.
That's really, you know, one of the things that I enjoyed with my cruises in the Caribbean was that stopping in each island, it was like different cultures because, for instance, some islands were Dutch, some were French, and some were Spanish and British. And so they all had been occupied throughout time and colonized by these different countries. And so they all had a different culture in each place. So you will find different cultures along the way, which is really part of the attraction of a cruise.
That's true. And there's also a culture kind of greeting you there too, kind of the cruise tourism culture at each of these destinations, whether it's people trying to sell you trinkets or who want to give you a tour. It's quite a scene when you get off the ship.
That's a good point. That doesn't change.
Right.
The ethnicity type of background will change, but what doesn't change is the commerce aspect of that. So you do need to be aware of that, and that, you know, you are income for many of the people at these destinations.
I had never seen so many jewelry stores next to each other than in the Caribbean islands at these ports that you pull into. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do they stay in business? There's 20 or 30 jewelry stores lined up next to each other.
Yeah. All right. Well, it can be confusing sometimes at these destinations. Fortunately, the staff, well, they do their best to make it fun and easy for you.
Well, like most of your cruise experience, you can have it packaged up for you. You don't have to do your own research. The cruise will provide some sort of list of excursions or little mini trips that you can do that they will organize for you. And they'll say, hey, we'll be at this port of call. Would you like to do X, Y, or Z activity? You get to choose. You add the money to your total charge.
Mm-hmm.
And they take care of everything for you. It's quite easy and convenient.
Yeah, and we see some examples there in line 9 and 10, don't we?
Well, have you wanted to swim with dolphins or go zip lining or take in the view from a float plane? Now's your chance. So cruise excursions let you do maybe some things that are a little bit out of the ordinary.
Stuff you normally wouldn't be doing, right?
I have not swam with dolphins recently. Right, that would be a new experience for me.
On my cruise with my family, we went on one excursion that took us out on a boat out in the middle of the ocean. There was nothing in sight, no land, no other boats, nothing but our little motorboat and a bunch of us, you know, cruise people. And there was a part in the ocean that got so shallow, you could climb out of the boat and the water would be up to your knees. Mm. And there was a big crowd of manta rays out there.
Wow.
And you could just go out and feed them. All you did was stand around in the middle of the ocean with waist-deep water and feed these rays. And they're like little cats. They come up to you and they like to run past your ankles and stroke up next to you. It's really cute and it's fun.
Wow, that's like that. That's quite an experience.
Yeah,
it's something you'll remember forever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so that's great. And so that's a great example, Joanna, of stuff that you would never do in your normal daily life. Certainly not swimming with dolphins either.
No, and I didn't zip line to work either. That would be new.
And what if you did zip line to work? How would you be getting to work?
That would be holding on to a contraption that's tied to a wire held, you know, strung up usually between trees,
mm-hmm.
and that takes you very quickly kind of through a jungle.
Yeah. So zip lining is this thing where you're zipping through the treetops on a wire. And we actually had done, I believe it was a newsworthy clip about zip lining about 6 months ago, placed down in Florida, a zip lining park there. So, and also take a view here from a float plane. What's a float plane?
Well, a plane that instead of having wheels or landing on its wheels, it lands on the water and it's got these big pontoon things that float. It helps the plane float.
Yeah, and these are actually very popular in Alaska, and I believe that is where Naomi had the opportunity. I don't know if she did, but you will see these all throughout Alaska, float planes. They fly from lake to lake or ocean to lake because in Alaska there aren't many roads, and that is how people commute between towns in Alaska using these float planes. So it's their way to get around. How'd you like to go to work like that?
Sounds fun.
All right. Now's your chance if you haven't ziplined, swim with dolphins, or been on a float plane. If you register for a ship excursion.
Well, the staff will provide all the information and equipment you need. Like Joanna said, they package it up and make it very easy and convenient for you. The only excursion that Naomi went on was a snorkeling trip in Alaska.
That sounds like an odd combination, snorkeling in Alaska?
Well, I would have definitely thought the water would be cold, and she immediately tells us she did squeeze into a thick wetsuit. And a wetsuit is almost a rubberized piece of clothing that you wear when you're going in cold waters.
Yeah. All right. And it traps the water in between the rubber and your skin. And actually, that acts as an insulating agent to keep your body warm. She said it was. First, she says it was an exceptional adventure.
Well, exceptional means very, very good. It's unlike other things. It's very interesting, unusual. And in this case, I think it means good, very good.
And I had said that seems like an odd combination, snorkeling in Alaska. Now, we've gone snorkeling, all of us, I think, in the Caribbean. That sounds quite normal. Nice, sunny, warm water, tropical fish. But we normally wouldn't think of going snorkeling in Alaska. This is too cold.
Well, I know Naomi, and I know she is always up for a really fun dive or a snorkeling trip. And considering some of the delicious seafood that comes out of the Alaskan area, maybe there's something really cool to see. Maybe it's not like gross and dirty water. Maybe there's some really cool and different sea life to see up there because it's so cold and so far north.
Well, you know, you just said something reminded me of, you mentioned diving, and of course, Joe and Naomi went diving down in the Philippines, and we had an article last year about that.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I think about doing it again sometime.
All right. You two are like fish.
We are. We've had so much fun diving. I miss her now.
All right. Well, I'm making you reminisce here a little bit. Well, Naomi is talking about being up in Alaska. Chilly weather up there. She took the plunge.
That's right. When you take the plunge, it means you decided to do something. And she uses it both figuratively and literally here. She jumped into the water. But we could use it figuratively and just say it's decided to jump into something. Maybe you're going back to school or you're getting married. You can say, I'm taking the plunge.
Yeah, I think of marriage. Normally we say take the plunge when somebody gets married, right? That's usually for like the bachelor, who has been a bachelor forever, hard to catch, and he finally decides to take the plunge. But in this case, Naomi is taking the plunge into water that is 7 degrees Celsius.
That's really, really cold. You'd need a wetsuit for that.
And that is cold.
Even a wetsuit can't stop that initial shock.
Yeah. In fact, it's so cold that without a wetsuit, normally within, I believe it would be about 2 minutes if you jumped into that water without a wetsuit, just like in a bathing suit, your whole body would lock up and you would just drown. So that's how cold the water is, and it would just affect the body so much.
I have actually experienced something similar to that. When I was in Korea, we went ice fishing, and there was a pool. The weather was freezing. It was 0 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
And they had an opportunity for tourists to climb into a pool wearing only shorts and T-shirts, completely barefoot, and try to catch fish with their hands. Mm. I don't know the temperature of the water, but, Bill, I have never felt so cold in my life. It hurts.
Yeah.
It is physically painful. I climbed out after about 2 minutes, and I was so, like, scared and freaked out because my legs were completely numb and I knew I was stepping on sharp rocks and ice, but I couldn't feel it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. In such cold water, your body just locks up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's so cold.
You didn't catch any fish?
I didn't stay in long enough.
Oh.
I tried, but fish are slippery little things.
Yes, they are. Let's have our second reading for today.
The Road Less Traveled. Although the cruise excursions are fun and very convenient, these outings tend to be pricey. If you do some research, you can usually find just as many thrilling activities to try independently. On the cruise, you will find helpful maps featuring some history and sites for each destination. Many ports also have excellent tourist resources. However, for the best experience, I recommend checking online for supplementary information before you depart. You'll find you can do all of the activities advertised by the cruise line, often for half the price. At our stop in Hakodate, Japan, I teamed up with a couple of friends, and together we enjoyed a wonderful outing to an onsen, then toured some old temples and churches. In Kodiak, Alaska, we hiked through a stunning forest, sampled local fare, toured the harbor, and visited a museum. There was no shortage of things to do on any budget.
Okay, we start off with this section, The Road Less Traveled, and that's actually a famous poem, isn't it, Josh, by Robert Frost?
That's right, meaning a road that hasn't been frequented by many people, and that's what these cruise excursions can do, take you places that most people don't get to see.
That's the excursions, which we just covered in that first section. But there is a caveat.
Yes, when you do go through the cruise company to arrange the excursions, they do tend to be pricey. She calls them outings. When you get out and do something fun outside, you can say you're on an outing, a short journey. And if something is pricey, that just means it's expensive.
Right. So, you know, on some of the cruises, I went deep sea fishing or I went on a snorkeling adventure, or then I went on a tour of a certain islands like Antigua or Martinique, but they do tend to be pricey. You don't pay for them right then. They kind of total everything up. Imagine being in a hotel and for a week and you order room service and you order other things. Well, you don't pay right then. When you check out, you then pay the total, and that's what happens on cruises. They then, when you check out of the ship, they will give you a total. They'll say, okay, here's all your excursions and everything else, and you owe us $500 or $1,000, whatever it might be, just as if you were in a hotel.
Yep.
So, and they do tend to be expensive, pricey. If you do some research, what?
Well, you can usually find just as many thrilling activities to try independently. So if you're willing to put in a little bit of extra work and research, you can do the same types of things, but for much cheaper.
Yeah. Now, on the cruise, you will find what?
Well, helpful maps featuring some history and sites for each destination. So the cruise will get you kind of up to speed on the culture and the language and the currency that you'll be experiencing when you get off the ship. And it says many ports also have excellent tourist resources. So they will have, you know, information booths and tourist guides and things to help you out.
Right. In addition to all the jewelry shops that Josh mentioned, a lot of these places do have like visitor centers.
Yes.
And if they are stopping in the main city on the island or the port area, the country that you're stopping in, they will have visitor centers to help you.
They're not surprised that a cruise ship has shown up to their town.
Yeah, it didn't just happen. However, now, for the best experience, what does she recommend?
Well, she recommends checking online for supplementary information before you depart, meaning don't just depend on what you'll learn from the cruise ship.
Yeah.
Go online before you go and do your own research, find out the things there are to do in that town, the things there are to see, and who knows, it may open up a whole new variety of things that you'd be really interested in seeing and doing, completely independent of the cruise.
Yeah. Like Josh was saying earlier, going online and looking at all your options on the ship is one thing. It's exciting. And but then also finding out the options at the ports is exciting because you can find all sorts of things.
That's right. And we actually, on our tour through Playa Carmen, Mexico, we found a different tour guide that took us through the ruins, Mayan ruins of Mexico, which were beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was not affiliated with the Disney cruise, and we saved about half the cost.
That's what that next sentence talks about, which Naomi writes, that you'll find that you can do a lot of these activities that are offered as excursions on the ship, but if you find them yourself ahead of time, you can arrange it, or you can even call them right when you get there, and often for half the price, what Josh just said.
Right, without that markup, we'd say, from the cruise direct company.
Give you an example. Josh went on a tour of the Mayan ruins. Maybe if he had arranged that through the ship, they would have charged him $100 US, but maybe on his own, he was able to go and do it for maybe $50. Well, over the course of a week, this stuff adds up if you can do a little bit of homework on your own before you get on the boat. Now, Naomi gives an example of some of the stuff that she did here.
Well, she teamed up with some friends in Hakodate, Japan, and they enjoyed a wonderful outing to an onsen, which is a hot spring.
Okay, there's a great example of something that you can do there in, for instance, just right there in Japan that you may not normally do, although you can go to hot springs around here in Taipei, but I think they're a little bit different experience up there. They offer some other things.
I've never been to an onsen in Japan, but it sounds, I know they're famous for them, and I would love to try one, especially one up in colder areas with snow, and it just seems like a really nice vacation.
In addition to going to the hot spring then, they did tour some old temples and churches. And then she fast-forwards to Kodiak, Alaska,
where they hiked through a stunning forest, sampled local fare, toured the harbor, and visited a museum. Wow, she packed a lot in to her trip to Kodiak.
Yeah, that is a lot to do. And a lot of times, though, when these ships stop in a port, they're only there for one day.
Right.
Yeah, as Josh and I mentioned, they might get into port at 9 o'clock. You can get off the boat at 10, but they say, well, you need to be back on board by 5 o'clock.
Or they're leaving without you.
Yeah, and you better be back on board. If you don't get back on board, you're stuck. Sorry, they're not going to wait for you. So it does create kind of a tight day, you know. And so it's you have to really pack a lot into a short period of time when you are there. But it is doable, and you can see some really neat things. And in fact, there was no shortage of things to do on any budget, right?
Yes, that means whether you're spending a lot of money or whether you want to do it on the cheap. You don't want to spend much at all. She says there was plenty to do.
And we see a couple of pictures there at the bottom of page 19. Tell us about them, Joanna.
Well, on the left, we see Naomi and her roommate Alice as they prepare to go snorkeling. And on the right side, we see some overall, like, larger photos of the cruise, what the cruise ship looks like parked in the port, and one of the decks, I think.
Yeah. All right. So there's some great examples there of what it's like. They look pretty happy before they jumped into that freezing cold water. I'd like to see a picture after.
Me too. You know you need pictures when you're doing that kind of thing.
All right, listeners, thanks for being here for day two of Anchors Away. Come on back for day three tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill.
Joanna.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.